Welcome to Bill Snyder Stadium, Kansas State University, home of the Wildcats, for this week's special episode of The Burn. You know, I've had the opportunity to work with the two winningest college football coaches over the last two decades. Coach Saban, seven championships at Alabama. This is my fourth season there. And this is my seventh season with Coach Klieman. Won national championships at North Dakota State, four. And now here at Kansas State, continuing to attack. And what many people think is that it's all about the wins and losses. But as you're going to find out from this double episode with Wyatt Hubert, former Wildcat from the Cincinnati Bengals, and Briley Moore, former tight end, now with the Tennessee Titans, it's the burn, the fire that lies inside of you when you connect it to your why and your purpose every single day that causes you to take the necessary action to compete to chase down your highest level. Many of you may never see the field in the NFL, but there's a field that you step onto in your life every single day. You'll find out from this episode what fires me up about my work at Alabama and Kansas State. I only work with two programs. It's the burn. It's the fire. It's the individual stories. Enjoy this double episode of The Burn. Welcome back to another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and you know how we do this. Every single week, we are bringing you a story of an athlete, a celebrity, an entertainer, somebody from the business world to share their burn, to share that fire inside of them that ignites their why and their purpose, that causes them to follow through with the necessary action to attack their peak performance. Today is really special for me because this young man, Briley Moore, is about to have a life-changing experience dependent upon where he goes in the NFL draft. But before we talk about Briley and what he does on the football field, you know how we do this. We're going to talk about that burn that lies inside of him. I want to share something about Briley. I've had the opportunity to work in the game of football for 8 years now, 2013. Was the first player that I mentored in the NFL. And there are players that have it. And when I say the players have it, it's a level of ownership that they are willing to take. And this is beyond football. This is a business lesson too. It's when you meet somebody, you know there's a deep-rooted purpose and they're willing to take ownership to do what it takes to get the job done. And Briley Moore, when he was a grad transfer from the University of Northern Iowa coming to Kansas State last year, from the moment we met, I would even say, Briley, it was like over Twitter, just some of our, before we even met, it was just the text messages. I'm like, this dude has it. This guy's got some fire. He's got some passion. And I'm going to go right for it because I love getting to know each other. I've loved the relationship that we've built, you know, the opportunity to attack on the gridiron together, even though I never put on the pads, you guys are the ones getting after it. I want to go right to what I believe, what really impresses me about you is you're what I call an old soul. You know, the amazing relationship that you have with Caitlin, your beautiful son, Malachi, and, you know, Bubba, and, you know, just how much you love that little guy. So take us to the burn, and maybe, am I right or am I wrong that you're an old soul and there's a little bit of a different fire that lies inside of you?
Oh, 100%, 100% right. So first of all, I appreciate it. It's an honor. Once I got that text, you invited me on here. I can't tell you how excited I was. like we talked about before, I listened to your episodes. So that was a true honor once I got that invite. So I appreciate that. I mean, you hit it on those. I have the most amazing fiance, you know, that God put in my life. And then, you know, growing up, there's two things I wanted in life. I wanted to be a father. I wanted to be an NFL player. And I'm sitting here a week and a half before the 2021 NFL draft with a year and a half year old that just looks just like I did as a baby. So the most amazing fiance. So, I mean, God has one thing I've learned throughout the whole process from time I was a little kid, started playing football, and now God has a plan, and his time is much more calculated than the one we have in our head. When I look at Bub, as we call him, Malachi, I see everything. I see my entire fire. I grew up in a single parent household. You know, from the time I was a little kid, my fire was being lit and I didn't even know it. I grew up with my mom, my little sister, lived in a household where, you know, my mom was being physically abused day in and day out. You know, I'm seeing that little kid can't do anything about it. You know, just situations you would never want to, you know, put your kid in, never want them to see, you know, knives being pulled out, guns being, you know, put to her head. And, you know, as a little kid, you're just like, it's almost normal. Start to grow up, realize, okay, that's not normal. That person removed from our life, we're growing up. And then, you know, you were growing up in a little bit older high school, and it seemed like every month something was going out, whether it was the lights, whether it was the water. And from a young age, I embraced that. And as, you know, crazy as this may sound, when, you know, there was times in high school I can remember, you know, the power was out, the water was out, just cold, the hot water was out, just cold water, no lights, electricity. My mom, sister would go stay at a friend's house. I was supposed to stay at one of my friend's house, and I would tell her I would, and I would drive back home and I would go sleep there in the dark, take a cold shower, and just embracing myself in, you know, these struggles that life presented. Because once I grew up, I realized that this is what God's plan is for me, and it's going to set me up in 10 years to be who I am. And at the time, 7 years now, I thank God for those opportunities, you know, to see that, because I've seen that with all that going on, my mom every single day had a smile on her face. Every single day worked multiple jobs. She, you know, did all this. She was just absolutely amazing and really laid the foundation for my work ethic and laid the foundation for me to be a father. And so when I look at Malachi before a game, he's on the sideline, I find him, I see all of these things that clearly the, you know, he radiates happiness. But when I'm on the field and I see that, I see, okay, I've seen, you know, these experiences that I went through in my life led me to be able to be the father to him that I always asked for, led me to be, you know, sitting here talking to a mentor of mine a week and a half before the 2021 NFL draft. So, I mean, that's my burn. That's what gets me going. And that's why, you know, I play with this chip where, you know, a guy in front of me, I never want to hurt you, but I want to take your soul while we're on the field. We can talk after the game, be friends, but while we're on the field, nope, I'm trying to snatch your soul from you. And so just, you know, the path that life or that God gave me in this life is just, it's been a evolution of, you know, starting the fire young and just building it as I grow older and older. And I mean, like I said, I'm just thankful for those life experiences, although, you know, at the time they were very hard, but I wouldn't be who I am. As a man, as a fiance, future husband, as a father, a son, you know, or a follower of Christ, if it weren't for those.
I love your approach to life and exactly the way that old soul, now everybody knows it. And, yep. You know, so much of our lives is how we choose to respond to challenge and adversity. Sure. I know when you're on that football field, that switch does flip, because I'll tell you, people do not want to be blocked by you, and they don't want to be trying to tackle you when you put those good hands to use when you're running a route. And so it's a dual threat that a lot of guys at the tight end position, you know, don't have. And here's what I'd like to I want to take you down a road based upon your answer, because I think it's you coming from Northern Iowa, having to prove yourself at, call it, the 1AA level. You know, yep. Having to prove yourself there and then coming to Power Five, which I know is a dream for you.
Yep.
Right now, and this goes on in the business world too. It's not just sports.
Yep.
People lack the patience to put in the work over a long period of time, not a year or two, a long period of time to earn their opportunity to go play in the NFL or to earn their opportunity for their next promotion.
For sure.
So what has it been for you that's caused you to say, okay, I'm going to be patient and I'm literally going to bring my lunch pail and I'm going to outwork everybody and I'm just going to keep showing up every day. What was that like for you to go through your experience at UNI and then know, okay, I got more. Man, I got another year I got to go. Take us there, because I think people can learn a powerful lesson of patience.
Yeah. So, I mean, to start with that, there's a common theme that I see on the social media age with the younger generation coming up with the transfer portal, which I'll hit on, is in this, if you want to be great in football, in business, in life, whatever your path may be, there's not instant gratification. I mean, you're not going to show up to a Division I school and, you know, get a pat on the back every time you do one little thing right and be able to make an impact. I mean, guys wait 2, 3, 4 years to get, you know, onto the field. And so my thing is approach to life. From, like I said, when I was a little kid and I really bought into this, you know, NFL is where I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm working every single day harder than anybody I know without seeing any instant results. I mean, if you're on an 8-week lifting program, you're not going to start seeing results until week 4, week 5, week 6. So you have to be comfortable enough to work every single day and not get a pat on your back. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, and we're seeing it. So I get to Northern Iowa as a 215-pound wide receiver. They're telling me I'm playing tight end. Okay, good with me. Let's work. Put on 10 pounds over that summer, over the 2 months, and, you know, play as a true freshman. Didn't play much. I had 4 catches for 60 yards and played probably a total of 20 snaps. And obviously that didn't sit well with me. So we're back to the off season. And I mean, it's just a continuous grind each and every day to, you know, it's never going to be a straight line up. You know, you're going to go up and you're going to go down, and it's never going to be a straight line to success or to your dreams or where you want to be, but you have to lock in and know, you know, to me, I do it for the me in 5 years, the me in 10 years. I also do it for the me 5 years ago. 10 years ago, the me that was seeing those things as I'm growing up as a little kid, because, you know, I owe it to myself to be great. I owe it to Malachi. I owe it to Caitlin. And it just doesn't happen overnight. So once I see this transfer portal thing going on right now, it kind of gets under my skin, because I was in the transfer portal a year ago. But my situation was different. Going into the 19 season, you know, like I said, working every single day in my entire life for this situation, I'm preseason All-American. I'm on the Reese's Bowl watch list. In my head, everything is aligned just how I wanted it to be. Going into my senior year, this is the year that, you know, I'm going to dominate on the field at Northern Iowa, and it's going to be the year that gets me to the NFL, to my dreams. First game, second half, blow out my shoulder. My entire shoulder pads are popped out, like off, ripped, shoulders broke. Go get the MRI, the x-ray, find out that there's 2 fractures in there, and I'm out for the season. And this is one of the most uncomfortable times of my life, because I had this amazing thing going. Caitlin was pregnant at the time, didn't see the light of what that could lead me. But, you know, all this was built up my entire life, and boom, my senior season done. You know, what am I going to do? And as uncomfortable as I am, I looking back now, I know, you know, that's one of the best things that ever happened to me in this life, because I was able to be home with Caitlin in her last couple months of pregnancy, and then able to be home with Malachi in his first couple months of life, and spend more time with them, you know, through that time that I wouldn't have been able to. And, you know, just embrace the grind, and I'm working and I'm, you know, rehabbing and everything. And then a few months down the road, I get the opportunity to transfer, opportunity to go to K-State and
a different purple, live out my dream. A different purple.
to wear a different purple. And I'm living out my dreams. I'm playing at the Power 5 level. I'm playing 2 hours from home. And like, if it wasn't for that uncomfortable time, you know, that time that I had, you know, conversations with God, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I thought we had this plan. And then boom, that happens. I'm go to K-State. I meet you. I meet Coach Klieman. I meet the players. I play with them. I just find out that God's timing is much more calculated than the timing we have in our own head. So I just now seeing all these guys transfer just because, you know, they're freshmen or redshirt freshmen and they're not on the field. Like, I just, it doesn't make sense to me because, you know, you just have to continue to work. Okay. You don't like the results you got at the end of the season. Okay. Work to make sure that doesn't happen the next year. It's not just all going to happen. There's a select few guys that can go to Alabama, can go to Clemson, Ohio State, play as a true freshman, play 3 years and go to the NFL. I mean, that's not life for 99% of even college athletes, which is already a small percentage of people. So it's just, you know, if I could give one thing to, you know, to the guys that are following me is you don't have to see results right now. If you continue to work and continue to, as we say at K-State, pound the stone day in and day out, I promise you, you know, that stone's going to look the way that you wanted it to. In a year from now or in a couple months from now. It's a progress, you know, it's not all going to be uphill. It's not going to be a straight line. But you just got to keep your head down and keep working.
Let me word this way. You did pound the stone. You did overcome the adversity. You did continue to fight. You did prepare. You came to Power Five and you made a name for yourself in the Big 12 conference. But then when it was all said and done, you had to keep pounding the stone because some of the individuals were wondering, what are this guy's pro day numbers going to look like? Like, is this a combine guy? Is this not a combine guy? Like, is he going to get an invite? And it kind of, and you hear stuff like that. And then it's almost like, man, again, like, when am I going to get that respect? And people can go back and watch. I mean, we're specifically talking Briley here because I'm so proud of everything that he's done. But I was so proud of the entire team. You know, I did the Burn episode about my work at Alabama and Kansas State this year and how proud I was of how we embraced at deeper levels maybe than any other team in the country. I mean, there were probably four or five games we had no business even strapping up and playing.
But we did.
We all committed to each other that we were going to fight. Yep. And so I think there were some things that led to, you know, people questioning, okay, who is this guy, Briley Moore? Because, yep. I mean, you had some plays. I mean, you blocked your ass off. I mean, there were some unbelievable touchdowns. I mean, it was just you put stuff on film. But I think there was a little, like, uncertainty. But what can he be, right? And then you started to hear noise and we talked about it. Is he slow? Does this guy have any speed? And then, man, I came down to speak in Phoenix. And I know your agent, had you down in Phoenix and you were training at Exos, who does an incredible job training and preparing guys for their pro days. And there was that look in your eye. It was like that hunger again, like, man, I'm about to show these people. And you and I did my crazy unrequired workout and you showed up to the hotel at like 5 o'clock in the morning, which was awesome. But you put up some numbers at the pro day that really speak to the importance of somebody continuing to believe in what they know they can do rather than listening to the naysayers of the media and what the media thinks that you can do. So I want to give you permission because I know you're a humble dude, but I want you to share with everybody what that was like to hear that. And then I want you to share what it felt like to post some numbers that made people say, holy cow, this is a can't miss player in this draft.
For sure. In my head, I was always that person at Pro Day. I was always those numbers at Pro Day. But like you said, nobody else, you know, there was a big question mark. Nobody else believed that, to be honest. Post-pro day, everybody's like, wow, you know, you put these numbers, we didn't expect this, blah, blah, blah. In my head, that was always me. And, you know, the work never stops. Season ends, decide my agent, decide where I'm going, you know, working out at home for a couple weeks, and I get there. And boom, this is our plan. You know, we want you, I walked in there at 251. I wanted to be 240 and lose body fat. I wanted to run a low 4.6. I, you know, wanted to do all these things, and, you know, sounds nice. All guys come in there with, you know, with these high, you know, goals that's going to shock people. And then, you know, the biggest thing for me and the biggest challenge for me was, you know, the diet. It wasn't eating healthy, but it was the portions. You know, they got all three of my meals, and they got.
I remember you telling me when you're doing the workout. You're like, man, these portions aren't right.
So, man, I get there and I open up my first meal, and I'm looking at it like, and I'm looking at Caitlin like, this isn't gonna work, but let's do it. Boom. So I'm get it, and I tell you, not the first week and a half until my body adjusted, I was starving at all times of the day. I'm sitting there and, you know, conversations in my head like, okay, but if I just, you know, make this, and it won't be that bad, just a couple more calories. But then it's just back to that, you know, stay committed, keep pounding the stone, because this is what I need to do. I needed to lose body fat. I knew that was going to be the biggest thing for me. That was, you know, going to take my game to the next level, my athletic ability. So it's what I did. You know, I stuck to it. My fiance was a great help, because I, you know, there was times where I was like, look, I can't do it. I need to eat. Lettuce isn't healthy for me. But no, I stuck to it, you know, stuck to the diet. And it's back to that thing is, you know, there's not instant gratification. You know, it took me about 4 weeks before I could even, you know, tell a difference. The first, you know, 4 weeks was the hardest for me, as far as I'm looking in the fridge, like, oh my gosh, I'd really just want to eat this. And I lose 1% body fat in 4 weeks. And once I see that, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I just went through all of this struggle in the past 4 weeks to lose 1% and then just keep working, though, because I know, in my head, I'm exercise science undergrad degree, so I know how it works, and I know I'm not going to get that. And boom, 2 weeks after that, at the six-week point, I lost 4 from the time I got in, so 3 since then. I'm like, all right, here we go. Then I kick it into gear, and I'm, you know, continue to stay locked in, just with a little bit different mindset. And I walk away with 11 pounds of body fat shredded off of my body. And I came in with a 30-inch vertical at pro day. I ended up jumping to 37.5. Don't remember what my, you know, my broad jump was when I got there, but I ended up jumping a 10.3, running a, they gave me a 4.64, wasn't super content with that number. But talking to some other people, they had me lower. So this is what it is.
But a 4.64 is moving for a tight end in the NFL. That's moving.
For sure. So I literally, just by sticking to it, like I was talking about, you know, working and not seeing any instant gratification, I was able to do these things and post top 5, last year's combine. And now all of a sudden, all the, you know, everybody's buzz. And I'll admit that I would see it on Twitter. You know, this guy has production, but he's not athletic enough to make the jump to the next level. He doesn't have enough speed. He can't get anything out of his brakes enough. So I was seeing all that, and I was, you know, it was like lighter fluid onto the fire that's inside of me going. I, you know, can't say that I never looked at that stuff. And then boom, pro day happens. I post these numbers, and now I can go to sleep at that night knowing that wherever I get drafted or wherever I sign as a free agent or whatever happens on draft weekend, you know, it's not because I didn't perform. You know, I did what I needed to do, and I gave them numbers that they did not think I was going to do. So at the end of the day, I can go to sleep knowing that, you know, it's up to them what they do with the numbers and what they do with, they go back and watch the film. And, you know, it's what we've been saying. It's just pounding the stone each and every day. You know, a different style of working out than I'm used to, than, you know, just being working out for football. But, you know, just embracing the suck, embracing, you know, my stomach growling because I'm hungry. For 8 weeks, 8-9 weeks, you can make these jumps. You just got to stay with it. And, you know, it was a struggle, but at the same time, I knew what the outcome could potentially be. And, you know, now we're sitting here with those numbers posted and, you know, just thankful for Exos, thankful for God putting me out there, because it was definitely the best thing that I needed.
Well, Briley, I can't tell you how excited I am for you and for Caitlin and for Bubba to see where you land. And you know, I will always be in your corner. We are only scratching the surface. We got a lot more work to do, but I love you. I'm proud of you. Your example. Now everybody sees what I meant by an old soul, right? Your example of understanding your burn.
Yes, sir.
Understanding that life takes patience, and understanding that you have to attack your beliefs with hard work. That's a lesson for anybody watching, no matter what their career is, whether they've ever played football, not played football, played sports, or they're only in the corporate world. Your story is a story of what it takes to drive success. And so I appreciate you. And any final words before I sign off, Briley?
I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on here. You know, I'm thankful that God allowed our paths to cross, because you've made a huge impact in my life in, you know, not even a calendar year. So I appreciate you. Appreciate everybody that tuned in to listen, and, you know, continue to connect with your burn and embrace the suck, and just, you know, continue to push forward.
So there you have it. That's what happens when you are an old soul. You persevere, you push forward. And that's what it really means to pound the stone. You know, at Kansas State, we talk about pounding the stone. That means you just keep going, right? You don't allow your feelings to dictate how you show up. It's that standard of just putting in the work every single day. We do that through a prize fighter day. So everybody in the caption of this episode, you make sure to download the free Prize Fighter Day course, which will help you pound the stone in your life. Every single week, you know, we are bringing you that fire of the stories of a burn. And I hope you listen to what Briley overcame in his life, what he had to endure, what he had to see with his eyes, because he's not the only one with a story. I'm not the only one with a story. Both of us know that you have a story. And when you tap into that burn and that fire that lies inside of you, you will attack in your life like you never have before. Today is an awesome episode with a young man that I've had the opportunity to work with, to become friends with, to get to know, who I couldn't be any more excited about for his future. It's Wyatt Hubert from the Kansas State Wildcats, former Kansas State Wildcat. Wyatt, welcome to The Burn. I'm so excited that we're able to do this leading up to the draft.
Definitely, Ben. Yeah, thanks for having me, and, you know, I can't wait.
So here's what I would say. You know, in all of our interactions, you know, I tend to be that fiery guy, the veins start popping out of the neck. I refer to you, Wyatt, as more of that quiet fire kind of a guy. You don't really need the yelling. You don't really need the screaming. But when it comes down to game time, I think of the opportunity I would have to look into your eyes when that ball would kick off. It was that quiet fire that would be ignited inside of you. So I'd love to hear from you. What is it that you would say is your burn? Where does your fuel come from? Because you finished your career in 3 years as one of the best to ever do it at Kansas State at the defensive end position. I mean, wreaking havoc. A motor for days. You now put that on show at the combine. So help us better understand, where did that fuel come from? Where does the quiet fire come from?
Yeah, definitely. You know, everyone has their own, you know, intrinsic motivator. And, you know, the thing for me, you know, growing up, the first 4 or 5 years of my life, I actually grew up in a single parent household, just my mom only. You know, so with growing up with her and, you know, her being a single parent, and raising and taking care of my older brother and I, just seeing her do that was, you know, awesome. And it definitely showed, you know, the toughness that she has, and just the will to be a successful mom and the will to raise, you know, successful kids. And I think she did a tremendous job at doing that. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, she got married, to my stepdad, which I was also raised by my stepfather, and he was my father figure growing up. And I still call him, you know, dad to this day. Even though we're not blood related, you know, he is my father. You know, I can't thank God enough for, you know, placing the most perfect, you know, father figure in my life when I needed one. And, you know, going through middle school, going through high school, even going through college, in great times of adversity and tough times. You know, my mom was always there, but, you know, my dad was always there as well. He's high up in construction, a big business-minded guy, very successful at what he does. And talked about, you know, a great leader with great leadership qualities and great leadership aspects. He knows how to lead. He knows how to be a good leader. And, you know, he's definitely one of the toughest son of guns, you know, on the planet. And the thing about him, he's always going, never complacent, you know, complete one task, complete one goal, the next one starts. And growing up, seeing that, you know, that trickled down to me. And growing up, you know, with four other siblings, and especially two brothers, you know, the competitive drive in the household, no matter what we were doing out on the basketball court, out on the football field, you know, even inside at home, you know, playing video games, everything was competitive. And we always pushed each other. And, you know, we got in a lot of fights here and there, you know, fist fights sometimes because we were so competitive. We hated losing to each other. But, yeah, you know, the main intrinsic motivator to me is just, you know, seeing my mom, you know, be so tough in those tough times. And then, you know, seeing all the great influences I have around me, such as my parents and my siblings, and, you know, still to this day, you know, every time I stepped out on Bill Snyder Family Field or stadium, I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be productive. But the reason I played so hard, the reason I practiced so hard is because, you know, my parents and my siblings are the people who helped me get to where I am today. You know, I'd be cutting all them short, you know, if I wasn't going out on the field every single day and giving it my all. And like you said, yeah, I was definitely a lot more quiet, you know, pregame, all that kind of stuff, sideline. That's just how focused I was. You know, I was focusing on the things I needed to do, what I needed to do. I was running all the certain scenarios that could happen in that game throughout my head. Just trying to prepare for every single moment, you know, for that next, you know, for those next four quarters and those 60 minutes. So definitely, you know, I definitely get hyped. Don't count me wrong. I mean, you've seen me yell and scream before. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, when I step on that field, I got two things. I want to be productive. I want to make plays. I want to be a good teammate. But I want to make my family, my parents proud. And that's my main motivator. And that's my main burn for sure.
I love hearing that and hearing you say the fire. Yes, I did see the fire a lot. And, you know, on game days, the hair would come down. You have the face paint on. So it was definitely game time. And I look forward to seeing you do that at the next level as well. I was a little bit concerned when we came on camera because you got your hair pulled back today because that's that Samson strength. And thank goodness you let me know it was pulled back. But I want to speak to your strength. It was one of the things, and I've never told you this, but it most impressed me about you. It was one of my first visits when we came as a staff to Kansas State. And we were in the weight room, and you were in the squat rack with Trey Deshaun, our guy, Big Trey. And just watching you work, I was like, this dude gets after it. I mean, there was no margin for error. There was no missing a rep. I mean, you talk about locked in. So what was it for you that made you realize? I think there's a lot of people, the reality is, they'll skip a couple of their reps. They won't give it their all. But like to me, I saw that same focus in you that day in the weight room as I would see on the field at practice or on the sideline during a game. So what was it for you that really caused you to say, man, I'm going to take ownership of every opportunity I'm given at this university?
Definitely. You know, when I first stepped on to Kansas State, I actually got to Kansas State in January of 2017. You know, I went up against a lot of really good offensive linemen, you know, and that's one thing, you know, being a high recruit and, you know, going to Kansas State, you know, I was definitely humble. I was ready to get to work. But the second I stepped on that field, you know, I'm going to get some of the best offensive tackles in the Big 12, you know, guys like Scott Franz, Dalton Reiser, Nick Kohlmeyer. That was definitely a wake-up call, you know. You definitely got to earn your stripes from the beginning, especially when you're a young guy, and earn that respect from the older guys and the vets on the team. And I think I did that definitely early on. You know, just like football, you know, no one likes getting their butt beat, you know. You want to go out there and you want to be the hammer, not the nail. And, you know, I was just a young, you know, I should have still been in high school when I first stepped on Kansas State. I was an early enrollee from high school and, you know, going through spring ball, going against some of those best offensive tackles. That definitely drove me because I knew how much better they were than me. And I knew where I wanted to get. I knew where I wanted to be, you know, by the end of my career. So, you know, every single day when I woke up, you know, I attacked the weight room, I attacked the practice field, the film room, all in the same mindset in the same way. You know, going back to what you were saying, you know, about, you know, some guys, sometimes guys will here and there, you know, skip reps, you know, take it off a little bit, you know, not go as heavy as they need to be. You know, that's one thing that I'm blessed and thankful for. You know, the guys I was lifting with were just as hungry as I was. You know, the saying goes, you know, you become who you hang around. And, you know, I chose to hang around, you know, the hardest working guys on the team and the starters and the vets and the guys that knew what they're doing and knew how to be successful. I definitely looked up to them. And there's, and then definitely, you know, like we were talking about earlier, there's guys on the team like Drew Wiley who have the same mindset as me. Just go out there and go to work every single day and just, you know, just attack it. And you almost have to be kind of, you know, me and Drew, when we lift together, it's kind of like, you know, we're honestly kind of like robots a little bit. We just shut off the emotions and just get to work. You know, if we're tired, if we're, you know, or angry or upset or, you know, not feeling the workout, we literally don't care. We just shut off those feelings and just get to work, do what's on the card. And, you know, honestly, every single day we do more than what's on the card. We're always pushing to get better. We're always trying to, you know, get better than the average person next to us. But you looking back at that, you know, going back to the, you know, when I first stepped on campus, obviously, you know, once you get to college, you need to be big and strong, fast, jump high, run fast, be quick. And those are the main things I wanted to work on when I got to Kansas State. And I knew I was always strong. I was always big, but I knew I could get stronger. I knew I could get bigger for sure. I knew I had to do that if I wanted to be successful in my career at Kansas State. So I attacked the weight room super hard. And it definitely paid off. We had amazing coaches in the strength room. You know, definitely give thanks to them for all they did for me. But, you know, definitely it's paid off. You know, I'm not complacent at all. I'm still ready to get to work at the next level and keep going and doing the same thing with the same mindset.
Mindset was actually going to be my next question. So you teed that up perfectly. I remember another great memory was the two of us, we were meeting one-on-one. It was, I think it was after spring ball or maybe leading up to training camp. And we were sitting in Coach Kleiman's office and you shared a goal with me. You said, man, I'm going to lock in and I'm going to come out early. I'm going to do everything that I have to do to come out early. And that was a big statement. And, you know, there's so many people that I hear from all the time, business world or sports, Wyatt, and that, you know, they'll tell you how bad they want it. They'll tell you everything they're going to do. But then when you have a conversation with their action, it's a totally different story. So we've talked about your action. How important has the mindset piece been for you to set that goal? I'm coming out early. And then now to have put up the numbers that you did, to have the career that you did, to get the combine invite that you did, to now get the recognition that you're getting with the draft just right in front of us, just, you know, 7-8 days away. What is it for you from a mindset standpoint that's important for setting goals like that?
Definitely. Well, you need to know what you need. You need to know what you want to do. You know, if you have a goal in mind, first thing I do, write it on a piece of paper. You know, that's something that successful people do every single day, all the single time. You know, they write agendas, planners, any sort of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I literally write it on a piece of paper and I read it every single day and remind myself, this is what I want to do. But it's not only what I want to do. It's what do I need to do to get there on a day in and day out basis. Then the second thing is, you know, you have to have patience, you know, great things don't come to you, you know, in a short amount of time. It takes time, takes longevity for sure. So like I said, Ben, you know, having that meeting with you in Coach Kleiman's office, I knew what I wanted to do, but I also knew what I needed to do to get there and to get to this point where I am today and get to the point where I will be in the next 8 to 9 days when the draft starts. And obviously, you know, don't look about yesterday. Don't look ahead at, you know, tomorrow. It's honestly just getting better 1% every single day and improving every single day in the film room, you know, even in the classroom, you know, in the weight room, I mean, on the field. And, you know, being successful, you know, it's, you know, the agenda, the layout of it is not, it's not hard. You know what you need to do. Everyone knows what they need to do to be successful. It's just the everyday mindset of attacking every single day, 1% every single day at a time. And like I said, you have to have patience because, you know, those small bricks add up to big bricks and those big bricks start stacking on top of each other. So that was my mindset. And that's always been my mindset. And going into the NFL, you know, that's going to be my mindset as well. I know I'm going to be a rookie. I have to re-earn my stripes all over again. But, you know, looking up to the vets and the older guys and, like I said, hanging around the people that, you know, are successful, that'll trickle down to you for sure. That's going to be my mindset. And that would be my plan for, you know, to plan to have a long career in the NFL.
Well, you are physically built for it. You're mentally built for it. I enjoyed the hell out of the opportunity to work with you and to be in your corner. And you know that I'll remain in your corner and be there for you. I'm going to miss on the sidelines, being able to look into that face mask with those eyes that are ready to let that motor go, that helmet that's right there behind me. I'm going to miss seeing you in that helmet. But what would you say to maybe another Kansas kid? You know, you're a Kansas kid who decided to stay home and come and play at Kansas State. What would you say to that Kansas kid who maybe has some fears and doubts right now that wants to play at the Power Five level, or maybe somebody that, you know, you've really inspired them with how you play the game and how hard you go at the game in another state? Doesn't have to be Kansas. What would you tell that kid that has those fears, doubts, and uncertainties, you know, that want to attack the opportunities that you've been given?
Definitely. You know, I have those fears and doubts as well. You know, if you're going to be recruited out of the state of Kansas, you have to be a dog, because, you know, it's hard to get attention here. You know, we don't get the attention like the Southern schools, you know, Oklahoma, Texas, all that kind of stuff. If you want to be recruited out of Kansas, you really have to be a worker. And, you know, a lot of percentage of the kids in Kansas are blue collar, hardworking type of kids. And, you know, I consider myself one of those type of kids as well. You know, anything I tell them is just, you know, don't listen to what people have to say. Don't listen to what the media has to say. The only thing you can control is your own happiness, your own work ethic, and the way you work every single day, and how you approach every single workout, every single day or practice. And, you know, that was my mindset. You know, I remember people coming up to me when I was in high school, you know, sophomore year, probably. And, you know, questioning and doubting whether, you know, I'll play at the next level, you know, Division I level and then in the NFL. And, you know, people's words don't mean anything. You know, they can say whatever they want, but, you know, they're not in there. They're not in the fire doing the actual actions and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, any advice to have to any Kansas kids, just go out there and work your tail off. That's, you know, plain and simple. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's so sweet. It's so rewarding. You know, I would, you know, playing at Kansas State was, you know, the best four years of my life. I loved it, and I would do it all over again if I could. That's my message. And, like I said, just work your tail off, plain and simple.
Wyatt, brother, I appreciate you. And, I'm so excited for you to see where you wind up for these next chapters. And you mentioned earlier about your mom and the sacrifice that she made as a single mom, and then meeting your stepdad, who's now really, you know, your father in that burn. I know that they are certainly proud of you. You know, I've seen some amazing pictures, the support you get from your family. And I just want you to enjoy the hell out of this experience. You have absolutely earned it. And there's no doubt in my mind you're going to continue to wreak havoc and play this game as long as you want to play it. I appreciate you and appreciate you coming on the show.
Definitely. That's the goal. And, you know, thanks to you, Ben, for everything you've done for me. And, you know, can't wait for the future, and especially going forward with it with you. Definitely can't wait.
You know, I got your back. So I'll remain in your corner. We got work to do.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Burn. You know, these are incredible episodes when you really have the opportunity to see individuals who, from a young age to still at a young age, there's been consistency in making the choice to show up and do what you said you're going to do. And that's a life lesson for somebody who's in the business world that watches our show, who's been in business for 30 years, to the young aspiring athlete that Wyatt just gave advice to. So join us every single week for The Burn. Stay connected to what drives you. Remember, as Wyatt said, silence the noise. Stay committed to what you believe is possible for you, and put your best work in every single day.
This episode of The Burn Podcast is powered by BenNewmanCoaching.com, your number one source for increasing consistency in your life and building the mental toughness habits required to live the life of your dreams. From self-paced courses to live coaching with Ben and everything in between, head over to BenNewmanCoaching.com and join the thousands of members working to unlock their peak performance every day.